Hey everybody, on this episode of the Comic Book Exchange, we are a jam-packed panel. We're going to be talking about Walking Dead, Batman vs. Two-Face, and a lot of other comic book shenanigans. Let's do it.
This is Book Circle Online, featuring in-depth discussion, insight, news, and commentary on all the world's leading book titles and their authors. And now, Book Circle Online.
The song that is sweeping the charts. The Book Circle Online theme song right there. You can dance to it, as Mr. Dave Child has shown us so eloquently right there.
I like to dance!
Welcome, everybody, to the Comic Book Exchange. This is a show where, of course, we talk about comic books. Sometimes we talk to the creators responsible for bringing you those four-color periodicals to your eyeballs every single Wednesday, whether it be in your local comic shop or on your digital storefront. We've got a jam-packed panel today. We're going to jump right into it. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at Happy Go Jackie.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys, so you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
I'm Lex Michael. I'm all over social media at the Lex Michael. I'm very excited to be here. Dave and Nate did a naked seance, and they brought me back with their witchcraft.
Uh-huh. Welcome back,
see?
Lex.
Look at that.
Nudity always brings you back.
That is right. As you watched last week, we did a premature farewell to Lex Michael.
Yeah.
Thanks to all your five-star reviews.
For all I
on
know,
iTunes.
I'm still dead.
Yeah.
And the hard work of our two guests here
inside.
Tonight. They brought him back.
I don't normally do witchcraft, but when I do, it's for Lex Michael. What's up, nerds? I'm Nate Miller. You can find me on all social media, Dog Like Nate. That's it. That's the end.
Is that you working on your catchphrase?
Yeah.
What's up, nerds?
Yeah.
I like it.
I like
yeah.
it. It kind of.
Like it.
Yeah.
It's good.
I use it on my gaming show, so it kind of is more like a.
Yeah.
It comes off a little less aggressive.
So. Right, right. It's not so much like. It's not that weird branded way of talking.
Right.
You can find me at MrDaveChild or DaveChild.com because I'm Dave Child.
And I literally put you down as MR Dave Child everywhere. That is your name.
Me too.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Not just because you really enjoy the podcast, but because
the production value.
Gave me like a weird feeling in my nether regions.
It's the only way we can make sure that Lex Michael stays on this plane of existence.
We have not nailed down the specific longevity of this spell. For all I know, when the sun rises, I will turn to dust.
It's definitely a first-time process for us.
Okay. It would simplify things a great deal for me.
Yeah.
You can also subscribe to the YouTube channel, and while you're there, give it a thumbs up. And Lucretia's got her computer up and running, which means Oracle's in the house, so feel free to hop in the chat and share your thoughts about anything we're talking about today, or just comic books in general. So, we'll hop right into it. I guess, like, the big news here is that, I don't know if anybody reading any of the Hanna-Barbera reboots that reimaginings, I should say, that DC has been doing.
I haven't, but man, do I want to. I keep hearing about them.
Yeah, Frank, you turned me on to that
Flintstones
book,
is fantastic.
Which I read, I think it only ran for, 12 issues?
That was it.
Read all 12 issues.
That was it?
It's phenomenal.
Really, really good.
All I saw from that Flintstones issue was one page where it was just someone yelling at the Flintstone family, go back to the sex caves like the rest of us. And that made me go, I need to read this.
Yeah, that's right.
What is this?
It is fantastic. And they also do on Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, which
what?
I didn't enjoy that much.
I never checked that one out.
What is that one
like? It's like, basically where a genetic virus gets out and it mutates people into like zombie-esque characters and stuff and monsters. I didn't really enjoy that so much.
Ah, enough with the zombies.
Nah, I really didn't care for that one. They also did one of the wacky races where it was almost kind of like a Mad Max kind of approach to the wacky races.
I'm sorry, I thought you said the wacky racists.
Wacky racists, yes.
Like Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn.
I was like, who did he thought?
Well, yeah, he is a wacky racist. That like that dog that... Super racist dog. Well,
they just started a new series, Dastardly and Muttley, with Garth Ennis writing it.
Oh,
I missed that completely.
I have to have this now.
It's really
I'm interested
cool.
now.
Yeah. And you get to learn the origin of how, at least in this retelling, how Muttley and Dastardly come together.
So wait, is that out already?
The second issue just came out this week.
How did I miss that?
It's out now, Lex.
All right, I got to go back. Got to go back. Got to check that out.
But the one thing that they teased earlier this year, too, in another book, they're doing a Snagglepuss. So he's being rebooted as a gay Southern playwright.
This sounds amazing. And in the 50s, I believe.
Yes.
It should be called... Is it called Snagglepuss, or is it called Exit Stage Left, even?
Oh, I think it's just called Stankopus, but that's true.
I mean, because it feels like that's what the Tennessee Williams play he would write.
Yeah.
Is exit stage left even.
I mean, look at him. He's wearing his little suit. Looks all damn. Yeah.
I actually thought when I first saw it, I thought it was maybe a redo of the Pink Panther. Because he's just Pink Panther with clothes in a lot of ways, so he's fancier.
And he speaks, because Pink Panther never speaks.
Yeah.
No, he just slinks around.
But yeah, definitely. Flintstones, well worth your time.
It's really good.
I think Snagglepuss would be really good too as well.
And I hope someone makes a gif of Dave going, get back to the sex caves with that bat.
Yeah, get back to the sex cave. Ah, welcome to Comic Book Exchange.
Oh, there it is.
Welcome back to your sex cave. Great. I'm glad that's on the internet. Yep.
That's right. That's
forever and ever.
That's right.
Sorry, no one watches this.
The other bit of news, though, is Len Wein, writer of many comic books and creator of many great characters. He passed away a couple months back, but his final Swamp Thing story is going to be published in 2018. So, anybody read the original Len Wein Bernie Wrightson run?
Long time ago, I read a good chunk of it, but long enough ago that because Alan Moore's run is the one that I revisited more often, a lot of it blends together now, and I'm having a hard time pulling specifics from the original.
That's right. I feel like we've talked a little bit about this before. Like another creator that's come in and taken somebody else's creation, really just kind of redefined it. That almost becomes like the standard that people look to when they think of that character. And that happened with Swamp Thing.
So did he come in after Alan Moore? And he
came in. He created it with and Bernie Wrightson, and then Alan Moore came over and took over with the anatomy lesson and kind of redefined how his origin story.
That's right.
He put his magic voodoo in it.
He did. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, he did.
That wizard.
My favorite magic voodoo. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good one. Yeah. Constantine, everybody. Yep. Constantine.
Got it. Yeah. There we go.
We made sure you said it.
Everybody drink.
Yeah.
Said it. Speaking of sex caves.
Now, a quick segue, because I know the majority of us, we all do the DC Universe TV shows.
Yeah.
And Dave, Lex, Lucretia, myself, specifically, we do Legends of Tomorrow. And I just saw a trailer, I don't know if you guys saw it. I think it came out around Comic-Con time, was the Ray.
Yes, they're doing CW Seed, right? Is an animated show?
So they had a little trailer come out for it. And, man, it looks really cool. It takes place on Earth-X. And you get to see the Freedom Fighters as well as the Earth-X counterparts of Supergirl, Flash, Green Arrow that are
It's all stuff
for
we're going to see in that crossover, right?
Yeah. So pretty cool. Worth checking out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Should be a fun episode. A fun four-part event.
How long are the individual episodes?
I don't know. I think they only last like 6 minutes or something.
I
want to
say, I remember, I know the Vixen was all real short form.
Because I think once you cut it together, you get, a half hour or 45 minutes?
Something like that.
I still haven't watched Vixen yet either.
I know. I need to watch it because apparently that's where a lot of our questions for Legends of Tomorrow can be answered.
Yeah, someone tweeted at us about where that water Alex Mack lady in the last.
Quasso?
Is this a miniseries?
Yeah.
Because on the CW Seed, they do animated miniseries
that tie into the
show, using Vixen.
Because Legends of Tomorrow is still in the same canon as Arrow and Flash.
Yes.
And Supergirl also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's another universe,
from the crossover. Okay.
You know who else is getting a CW Seed short form animated show?
Yes.
Everybody drink.
Constantine.
Oh, is that a thing?
That's a drinking
game. I say it enough that it became a drinking game.
And so now Lucretia's goal every time we do one of these is to give as many audience members alcohol poisoning as she possibly can, so she'll just drop.
It's getting a live action show.
No, just a cartoon on CW.
But he is showing up in Legends of Tomorrow.
For, I think, two episodes?
Yep.
And, of course, the Ray showing up in the CW
Constantine show.
Hilarious.
That would be the best.
some Etrogan.
Some cigarettes.
Yeah.
The one thing
he gets
I like
to smoke in the cartoon.
That's true. Yeah. The one thing I liked about the Ray thing is that you see that on Earth-X, Supergirl lives there with Flash, Green Arrow, as opposed to being on a separate Earth like she is. Yeah. So it's kind of interesting to see that they're all together on that one planet kicking butt.
Out.
Network guidelines.
Yeah.
That's true. all right. And folks, this Sunday, as we record it, whenever you may be listening to it, of course, that premiere may have come and passed, but The Walking Dead is returning for its new season, and they're going to be hitting episode 100. So we're all clearly excited by this.
I got the bat. It's Lucille. I know the name.
Yes.
Hey, look at that. Yeah. I got the bat. I'll watch it.
There you go.
I'm going to be excited for it. I like that they kept Negan around because I really thought I don't read the comics. Because stupidly I thought it was a horror comic. And so when I started reading it and I kind of stopped reading it because I'm like, this isn't suspenseful. It doesn't have any horror elements to it, but actually watching the show, I'm now get what the comic is about. It's about like survival and stuff. It's just not a very suspenseful comic.
You have an idea of what the comic is about, but the tone is generally more different in the book than it is in the show.
It's darker, right?
Yeah, it's more about humanity. It's more about what you do to survive. It's more about the people and their relationships and their interaction and stuff. Just because of the book structure, you kind of get to you have more free dialogue with like side characters and things of that nature. You don't have to worry about devoting screen time to.
Yeah.
So just the way that it's structured has led it to have a different like tonality. I think now in the later seasons they're getting more as the book progresses. I think they're kind of converging because as society somewhat builds up, there's more overarching themes to portray, which I think is good on television. I think you should give at least the first volume a read because I think you'll get a different feeling. I mean, the first volume compared to just like watching season one and two,
yeah.
I think gives you a completely different feeling.
I like the first one. I read up to where they see the jail. That was the last thing I said.
And even the way all the prison stuff goes down and like the way the governor stuff goes down, yeah. it's I don't want to say completely different, but pretty different. Like most of the key points are there, but the way things happen and certain characters that are involved, and there's a couple side plots that are like missed that are really dramatic and some of them really gruesome that I think they just kind of had to cut for television.
Well, and there were a lot of characters, right, who in the books, they meet their demise a good long while before they do on the show. So then suddenly you're in a position where you have to either incorporate them into the existing storylines or build whole new storylines around these characters that didn't last as long in the source material.
Yeah, and there's also like the Andrea problem where you turn a character that is like one of the comics' favorite, most beloved characters and you somehow turn it into a character that everybody hates. That you basically just have to kill her because there's no way you're going to be able to bring her back. And then now, like, to continue from that point on in the story without her, they've had to just fill other holes because she's such a key character. So,
but then, of course, like the inverse, right, is like the one that comes to mind first is Shane, right, who's like out. Spoilers for like the first little chunk of the series in the comic books, right? Like, he's out pretty quick.
Yeah. He's out super quick.
Very quick. There's no tension. Like, is it going to happen? It's like, you what? You want to what? And then he kills him.
Right. And then, of course, when you start making the show, you go, oh, but now we have Jon Bernthal. So we need to keep Jon Bernthal until Jon Bernthal's tired of us.
Yeah.
So, Nate, for you right now, since you're the one out of all of us that is reading on a regular basis the Walking Dead comic book, which do you still prefer, the Walking Dead, the comic book to the TV show, or are they just basically two different flavors of the same
thing? I definitely prefer the book to the show. I would always recommend the book over the show. I think for some people, the show is just easier to get them into that world because it's a visual dynamic. People, you don't have to necessarily get invested as much as like you do for the books. But I think the story is told better through the books. It's hard for me. I reach a point where a lot of my friends now, especially with this last season, where like they go, oh, I don't watch the show anymore. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to try to convince you. If it's not for you, it's not for you. You know, I don't think it's one of the worst shows on TV by a long shot. Mm-hmm. I think it just may have, because of the hype machine that we live in that is media now, it's hard. Like, once you do so well, if you don't continually go up, your fans are going to grill you on it. So any like mediocre dips or things of that nature, and you're going to lose fans. For me, a lot of my joy in the show is knowing not necessarily what's going to happen, but kind of the direction that they're heading, and enjoying being able to see that play out. All this all-out war stuff, reading it with the build-up to Negan, and when the war finally played out, oh man, especially with the structure that Walking Dead takes of like monthly at this point. So like the build-up between each one with the cliffhangers was incredible, and finally reading it was great. So seeing the build-up for the war and the preseason and what this season's supposed to be, I am really stoked. For me, it's always been about it's not about the zombies, just like you said about the horror book. I didn't read it when it first came out because that's why. Because I looked at the cover and I was like, that looks great. But someone's like, oh, it's just another zombie book. I'm like, okay. And then another friend gave me the first volume and was like, no, it's not. It's about people. Because we always talk about post-apocalyptic stuff and the survivors. What interests me is when society rebuilds, when there's no one to tell you what to do, what do? You know, and that's what Walking Dead is about. The different groups, the people that become raiders, the people that try to save people, the people that just cower in their little corner and die, you know?
Right, and then being current with the source material, like, I, watching the show, can only engage with what's in front of me, and that's really, like, the level I can engage with it on is, okay, this is what the show is. But if you have the source material to keep going back to mentally, then, like you say, you can watch these things come to life as you remember them, and then you can also appreciate the ways in which the show diverges from the source material, and then your brain gets tickled in that other direction.
Right, yeah. It's nice to see visually some things. Like the whole Morgan thing, we don't see him ever. He dies in the books when we meet him. So to see him come back and do all this thing, and like the peaceful thing, like, I find it interesting. There's definitely some cool visual things. I am a cinematic person, but story-wise, definitely prefer the books. And I wouldn't try to persuade someone to watch the show at this point.
Yeah.
But I think the best is yet to come.
Okay.
Personally, is what I would tell
When it comes to the character deaths, do you feel like the show's been able to kind of really deliver on those moments, or do you feel like the comic book has been more successful in really building up these characters and then really making you feel when they die?
I think the comic book is better just because, you know, there's just no... Unfortunately, when you're making a TV show, even though it's art, it's still a business involved, and so there are decisions where you know they're just not going to kill certain people. Certain people are not in trouble, things of that nature. And in the book, you don't have those freedoms, especially when you, you know, actually get into the world and you're with Robert Kirkman and he's just killing people.
Yeah.
And it's like, someone gets bit. No, they're dead. Or they have to hack the limb off. Or that person actually probably is dead, or things of that nature. So the suspense, and like, also, like I said, being able to have a couple pages where you can just write more bubbles and give people dialogue and a little more background of characters, the side characters kind of mean something. You don't get attached to them as the lead characters, but when they get mindlessly slaughtered, it's like, oh, I kind of like that guy. I was hoping we would get to know more about him or something.
And you talk about the business aspect as well, creeping into your experience watching the show. It's like, if you keep up with industry news and you're reading like one of the actors who's not one of the series regulars booked a show for the next season, you start to go, oh, okay, so how is this character going to be horribly slaughtered?
Yep. Things of that nature. And then also like the showrunner issues that they had with like season two. And, and there's just a lot. It's unfortunate because I think it really could have been one of the, you know, greatest American television series, but I think it's kind of got way too popular and just kind of got out of hand. And now they're just kind of doing damage control.
You think if Darabont would have stayed on the show, if they were to work out something, would it be a better show or would it just have been a different show?
I don't know if I could say better. I would just say different. But I think just having at least one goal in mind, sticking to a theme and a plan and staying with it would be better than the kind of like can't make up our mind way that I feel like it plays out.
Yeah, and too, as I say, as much as stock as they've put in the Negan character, and because Jeffrey Dean Morgan is a powerhouse actor, and that is an interesting character that a lot of people who might be not as familiar with the books kind of recognize, it is unfortunate that they haven't gone into the Negan backstory, which was one of the more interesting things I thought The Walking Dead did recently.
I bet they will.
Yeah.
Like they did with the Governor.
Yeah.
Mean, you know,
yeah.
They did have like an episode that dedicated just to the backstory,
and
which
that's a promotional book. Them doing that backstory, like that stuff has come and gone, and they are moved on to another thing, and that's now coming on, and they're about to start a whole new thing with the new arc that's about to start. So it's not like a, you know what we should do? We should write this. It's like, oh, hey, this is about to come out. The Negan stuff. They're right in the middle of its show. We might as well. Because I think they did a very similar thing with the Governor. And they did a book, and they did a comic book, too.
So I know Robert Kirkman has kind of said he sees they're closer to the end than they've been before. Where do you? How much longer do you think he'll go with the comic book series? How much longer do you think the TV series will run?
I'm thinking the book may end around 200.
Which isn't that far off.
It's not. Maybe 250, but I think because of the way he is with numbers, I feel like he would try to end it on a nice round number. And if I'm getting any sense from like looking at the covers for the next few months and what some of the issues have been, I think they might be heading towards some type of like a final, that's not, well, I was going to sound really bad, a resolution. to the issues of that world and kind of like a restructuring kind of a thing. So I can see them ending that soon. So I think maybe the show we might get, this is season 8. So maybe if this season plays out, maybe season 12 would be. I mean, I feel like it's pushing it, but to tell the story right, maybe 11, maybe 3 or 4 more. I think would be a good place to end it. Not that I want them to drag it out for too long, but I would like them to see it to a place of a nice completion.
I've seen like interviews where the producers were quoted as saying, like, we could basically keep this show going forever.
Right, yeah. And I think that's part of the reason why. I mean, Kirkman has said that for a while too, that he could just keep. And now he's changing his tune, and I think it may have somewhat to do with this show. I think he may internally want to, have an ending so that they can end the show, because that I think that would look bad on the whole legacy if the show just like ends really bad, like if they do a Lost or something of that nature, and it's just like really bad, and it's I wouldn't want that to impart upon the book to leave like a. Just the, like the name to leave like a sour taste in people's mouth.
Right.
Yeah, and it's really cool because we actually, Skybound sent us an exclusive look at issue 175. So we're going to be getting some copies, I believe, too. But the cover they could send us for today.
Ooh.
And this new arc is New World Order. For 175.
Yeah.
I'm loving that.
So yeah. I'm thinking not to give too many spoilers away from what's already happened, but. There are more communities, and there's a couple more wars, but...
Yeah, because that is a fascinating story to look at the, like, how society rises up. Because even in our best, like, zombie movie stuff, we haven't really gotten to that. Even Day of the Dead starts to address that, but doesn't really reach that. And then there's City of the Dead, which is just goofy. Yeah. But, like, so it's nice to explore that in a series like this.
Yeah. I mean, he's always said it's not about... That's why they don't explain, like, where the zombies come from or what caused it or anything of that nature. Because it's not about that. It's about what happens after. When you're surviving, after you survived, what kind of person are you now that you've survived? Are you the same person anymore? How do you look at yourself? How do you look at... your people? How do you live? How do you, now that you have a group of people to protect, do you just kill everyone that approaches you because they could be dangerous? Do you let people in and try to be nice and let them in your group so they can stab you in the back? So right. Like things of that nature, that's when I read these stories and I watch this show, that's why I'm like, yes, I'm interested in, because that's human
nature.
Do you
hang out with your tiger and just call yourself king?
I mean, I would follow that guy. If he was I'm King Ezekiel, this is my tiger.
Yes,
Your Highness.
Yeah,
I will be your royal jester.
He made me interested in the show again when he came in. I was like,
"It's a great character.
It's a good character. It's a good like group right there because it's a whole different way of looking at kind of this new life." And then he was also very honest about who he was too, and that came out pretty quickly. It wasn't like, "Is this guy insane?" It came out that he was doing this persona for a reason, and I really enjoyed that.
But I assume that you hope that the tiger's Shiva lasts longer in the series than she did in the comics.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so, but I find it extremely unlikely because she's expensive, and the more they have her on screen, the more people are going to go, "This looks funny. It doesn't look good. Why is the tiger there?" Things of that nature.
Where are the dire wolves?
I feel like a nice climactic Shiva sacrifice. No, and then.
Well, speaking of kind of climactic, do you feel like Rick Grimes, would you want to see him die and the series progress past him, and especially in the comic book, to kind of see what life would be like after Rick Grimes dies, or would you rather have his death come really close to when they're going to end the book?
Can Carl die?
That's rough.
Can we kill
Carl?
Carl
can't die.
Yeah.
Carl's the only one that can't die. Carl has god immunity. He's the only one.
Yeah, but he's the one that I really want
to die. Everybody wants to die.
Did they even eat the baby in the comic?
Didn't eat the baby, but the baby got shot.
The baby
died. The baby didn't survive.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Dead baby. Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Dead babies.
That's rough. I don't know.
We were just talking about this, about Dave wanting to shoot all the kids in media.
Okay, that's a little out of context right there.
I was not a part of that conversation.
that was not exactly what Dave said.
That was not what I said at all. That's not what I said.
Oh, man. All right. to answer your question, I don't know. I think I don't want him to die. I think that he will, especially with some things that have happened recently in the comic. I think he's going to die. And I think we're probably going to get another. I see the end, like some big conclusion, and he either dies before or after some type of sacrifice or something. And then Carl, not necessarily takes up the mantle, but we see him like as an adult. I think we'll probably get like a time skip and then see, well, like, oh, here's the.
I would be fine with a time
here's
skip.
Here's the. Well, spoiler alert. There's already going to be a time skip. And he's gone through puberty so much in the time they're shooting. All they need to do is cut his hair. And then it's like, oh, you look 10 years older.
Right.
It won't even be that many years. Yeah. It's like 3 or 4 years. But anyways, we'll get a time skip and we'll see, like, you know, what he worked for and all the communities working together and humanity rebuilding or something. And then they'll end it there. So I think that's going to happen.
But
right. I don't think he's... I feel like he kind of has to die. It would be... I think that may be the good way for them to like justify ending too. It's like his story.
You know, how else do you fully bring closure to something that big,
right,
except to like really like that's a wrap on the character?
Because if you go that far, and then also for him to say he wants to wrap it up soon, and like for him to die and then to continue on, I think it would just be weird. It'd be like it'd be like the Scrubs. Like spinoff
after Scrubs,
and it's like I'm there in spirit, or like, you know, something like that. It just,
he's like Mufasa, just kind of showing. Carl walks out to the the fields, and there he is.
What I do want them to do
more like Dexter,
is cut off his hand before in the show.
Yes. Yeah,
I really want them. Like, I know I'm sure it's complicated.
They've teased it many a time.
But I know. Just do it. It makes him look so much cooler.
And Daryl is not in the comics, right?
Nope, not at all.
So he's just a guy everyone fell in love with.
Neither
so
is Merle or any of that stuff.
Is Merle not in the comics at all?
No.
Nope.
Huh. Oh.
Although Merle, he was cool. I love
Merle. I like Merle too.
Well, yeah,
I
think Merker, he was a good addition.
Yeah, he was a good choice.
So as we're getting closer to the end here, one other thing that we were talked about that I said is that there's a new DC Direct animated film out.
I watched this today.
Yes.
So we better talk about this.
Absolutely. For those of you that know my feelings about the last one, it was Batman and Harley Quinn, which is a garbage movie.
We got 2 hours out of Frank's disdain for this picture.
There was at least more than 2 hours.
It's terrible.
It was like at least 3 episodes, maybe like half of another one.
I really want to watch this now.
Yeah. It's unpleasant. It is an unpleasant experience.
I want to watch it with Frank.
I would walk
in
back.
We need to do a live viewing of this.
Oh, I have so much. That movie just... Oh.
A lot of venom.
But that is the past. Movie. This, it's the second Batman 66 film with Adam West, Burt Ward, Julie Newmar, all doing their recreating their voices here. And this time we're doing the addition of adding into the Batman 66 universe, Two-Face.
Two-Face. Mm-hmm.
Voiced by none other than William Shatner.
Now, Two-Face was never in the original Batman series,
was
right?
Was not. No. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they conceived of an idea,
yes,
and they planned something out, but it never ended up coming to fruition.
They did one, like the Batman 66 comic, they did like an annual where they brought in Two-Face into the comic book for the first time, but no, he never actually showed up in the series.
Yeah. I loved this movie. I thought it was so much fun, and they were having fun doing it, and it had the same feeling of fun that the show had.
Did you see the first one? Did you see Return of the Caped Crusaders?
I did not see the Return of the Caped Crusaders.
A lot of fun.
This is my first Batman 66 animated show. The only thing I think, the only beefs I have are...
Bring the beefs, Dave. Bring them, Dave.
The only beefs I have is I feel like the colors could have been a bit more up. It could have been more colorful. The blue on his outfit could have been bluer. You know, it just kind of felt like it had the same toned down quality as the original animated series. And my biggest problem, because they were so into detail with Batman's eyebrows. I love how every time he got like looked at a computer, he looked at a punch out sheet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And everything was labeled, and they did those labeling jokes really well. But the Joker, there was no hint of a hidden mustache.
Yeah.
And that really bugged me, because even in the Batman 66 comics, they make a point of drawing, making sure that there's like a mustache underneath the makeup, because that's a Cesar Romero trope, is that he refused to shave his mustache, so he always had a mustache underneath all of his makeup.
And we were talking too before we started this show, Dave and I were talking about how, since especially the whole aesthetic and the performance of Joker in this movie is so clearly directly Cesar Romero, it does, the mustache is conspicuous in its absence.
It's weird. I feel like they just needed to have that weird hint of that there should be a mustache there. I don't know. That was the one thing that bugged me, but everything else, I had a lot of fun.
Well, it's nice because they conceived, certainly the origin of Two-Face, different than it is in the comic books.
Yeah.
Where he's still a DA, but instead of being in a courtroom where he gets acid thrown on his face, they set up this elaborate thing where Hugo Strange is going to take all the bad guys and suck the badness out of them.
Which is
suck
about
the evil out of them.
As Batman 66, a concept as there is. I thought immediately of the movie they did where the villain's plot was to like dehydrate the like world council and turn them into like colorful sand in bottles.
I love that movie. It has some of the best jokes.
Which, I mean, the way it ends is spectacular because they try and they're going to put everybody back together, and then I think Robin accidentally knocks over all of the vials and they get all mixed together. So when they put them back together, all of these world leaders are speaking the wrong languages, and they've got like they're all mixed up. And Batman and Robin realize how profoundly they've messed up, and they just slowly and quietly back out of
back
the room
away.
Towards
like
the window.
Homer, like,
some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. That's where that's
so
from.
Good.
And the bat shark repellent. I mean, it was always a funny, goofy show, and I love how there's a genre for different Batman like series, and this fit into this genre really well of the 66 Adam West like genre. You can watch Frank Miller if you want afterwards, but I like how this is, it's that weird goofy, makes me feel like a kid again because they were always on TV.
What I liked about this too is that you see some shades in the characters that you never got to see in the original show, where you get to see Robin's kind of jealousy and insecurity about Harvey Dent being so buddy buddy with Bruce Wayne,
which was great because there's a secret hidden, there's a running joke about how like what's her name who's always hanging out in the Wayne mansion,
Aunt Harriet,
she's like, oh, all these bachelors that are still single and best friends, it makes me feel so flush, and I just love very subtle gay jokes throughout all of it.
Well, that's why they created, if I'm not Frank, I assume Frank will know if I'm mistaken, but I believe that's the purpose of the Aunt Harriet character, right? Is because the network thought it was odd that this man and a young boy were living together in relative seclusion with no one except the old butler.
Yeah.
So they created Aunt Harriet to make it less weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just love, there's even that, like, Harvey Dent, and also just to have the Adam West and William Shatner pause inflection off that just happened.
It was so good.
They could have added Maurice Bernard and it would have been a perfect
trip. It was so good. And then you also have just you have Harvey Dent at one point being like, I hope you understand that Bruce and I are best friends. You're just his ward. That's a nice little, and you see Robin be like, how dare you. Like not trusting Harvey Dent the entire time. He's like, he's trying to get in the way of my best friend.
Well, because I like that too, is that they a nice spin on the Two-Face, where it's not just that acid that kind of brings that Harvey Dent's bad side, but since they've kind of created, like they've drawn the evil out, they can viralize it. And it's cool to see Robin turn into a version of Two-Face, like Gotham. And we get to see Batman and Robin fight, which is something you never would have seen in the original series.
No, yeah, and there's actually some good fight sequences. Like I kind of like the Robin, when Robin dances on a... dances on a table and like kicks it back onto them when they're on that double-decker bus. It was a cool little segment. It was a fun show. And also the jokes around police brutality was also interesting too, because there's that one guy who's always like hitting Tutankhamen over the head because he keeps reverting back to him. Chief O'Hara, what a terrible cop.
And he folds like a deck of cards on the stand. I did it.
And he's always like, you should ask Batman that. And Batman's always just... I just love... One of my favorite things from the original 66 show is Batman in his full outfit just hanging out with normal people.
Yes.
Standing around normal people.
Well, I like to, like, you're referencing the idea that Chief O'Hara is just a terrible policeman, but that was the case back in the original show as well. Like, when that series started, you watch the pilot, and it's like they pick up the red phone to call Batman when they realize this is a threat that's far, it's far too great for us. Nobody but Batman can outwit this dastardly fiend. But as the series goes on, the longer you watch, you go, oh, more and more frequently, the very first thing that they think to do whenever there is any kind of problem is pick up that phone and call Batman.
And that happens in this movie, too, when the professor who thinks he's Tutankhamun steals a plane, and they're like, there's nothing we can do. We gotta call Batman. Like, it's just the guy who stole a plane. That's it.
And I do like how Commissioner Gordon is always just like, I hope he picks up the phone. And he's always so kind of like one step away from just like losing it. Like, it's going to be all right. Just
Dave, you were talking about how it felt like they were trying to mesh the aesthetic of the 60s show with maybe a little bit of the aesthetic of the 90s animated series.
Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon has the mustache, which he never has at any point in the original show. But I felt like they gave him the mustache, and he had the glasses, too, which was a pull from the comics, obviously, but from the 90s animated show as well.
Honestly, that probably helped younger audiences kind of connect him to Commissioner Gordon, because I think it's hard to see a guy who doesn't have a mustache and glasses.
And there's a ton of consistency.
Well,
except Pat Hingle looked nothing like any other version of Gordon and behaved nothing like any other version of Gordon. But with the exception of those two, a lot of consistency in the Gordon aesthetic.
But Alfred doesn't have a mustache.
In this movie,
does he?
Yeah, I thought he did.
I thought he didn't.
In the 90s one or in this one?
In this one.
I think he had a mustache.
I remember seeing a mustache, but maybe I was projecting a mustache.
I remember seeing a mustache.
I liked in the Batcave, though, just the nod to Batman's original costume, one of the glass cases there with the purple gloves, the pointy ears.
Yeah.
I love that. I would love to have seen an Adam West wearing that for whatever reason. Like to see that Dark Origin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, happy with it?
I was very happy with it. You get a nice dance sequence at the end.
The credits, that was some good dancing. Yeah. See that right there? Because that Batman Harley
Quinn. Last Batman movie with dancing in it, you did not care about.
This did have awful. I mean, this did have Harley Quinn, though. What did you think about that?
But a nice nod. It didn't go over the top. Not too much. It was perfect.
You just hate Harley Quinn, huh?
Well, no. It's just that there's a whole bag of issues with this movie. And one thing I hate is terrible animated dancing. I hate that more than anything.
We're getting
the animated dancing of this one was amazing.
Yes, but like in Batman Harley Quinn, awful. Awful.
Awful dancing?
Oh, it drives me bonkers.
Yeah. It was great dancing, though. And I was worried, though, that Batman wasn't going to do this.
Oh, the Batutsi.
Yeah, he does. He does, right?
Do that Batutsi. Nate, you're not down with the Batutsi?
No, I'm a Frank Miller Batman guy.
I mean, you can like both, man.
Yeah, I like both.
I like my Batman sad and depressed and moody and
I'm
angry
holding my breath for both. Some Affleck Batutsi in Justice League.
I mean, that would save those movies. That would. Yeah. I
can save those movies.
Maybe if he starts doing a Batusi, I'd be like, it's gone so off the rail.
Yeah, Marvel DC crossover. I could save those movies.
I could, if you just bring up the freaking color, like just a little bit, put some saturation to that. That might help those.
Well, did you see the most recent trailer? It was all gray before, now it's all red.
It's
like what
terrible.
They did with the Fantastic Four trailer when like they released it, and then they're like, needs more green, and then everything just has a huge green pass over it.
Ugh.
Watching that latest trailer, I'm going to go see the movie, and I know you are, Lex.
We're all going to see it like opening night.
Yeah, I'm not going to see it. Day one, even if the review embargo lifts.
I'm not going to see it.
Even if the review embargo lifts.
No, I will not. I didn't see. I don't watch those movies.
So you didn't see Batman versus Superman?
I watched it on HBO in like three parts as I was doing something else.
You should see Wonder Woman.
I haven't seen Wonder Woman. I heard Wonder Woman's pretty good. I kind of want to see it. But I'll wait for. I'm not gonna see it.
I'm gonna see Wonder Woman without seeing the other ones.
Oh, I'm sure. I wouldn't really care about the continuity. Anyways.
Like I've got a sickness. The review embargo could lift, and it could be unanimous. This is the most fiery piece of garbage that has come out of the studio system since the inception of said system. On their opening night, no matter what.
I mean, I went to go see the Wolverine movies, so.
I listened to Frank bitch for 3 weeks about a movie and still watched it. So yeah, well, I mean, I was like,
is that the Batman
really
and Harley Quinn?
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I was like,
I love how you're obsessed about this movie that I'm only learning about because you're obsessed about.
Yeah.
Well, it's because
you're making it more famous.
Well, because it's done by Bruce Timm, who I mean is already.
Oh, really?
Yes, and this.
Not Paul Dini.
Dini, but it goes back into the Batman animated universe. And that was a huge mistake because it's
Frank Moran is dead set in creating for himself an enemy in Bruce Timm.
Yeah, he's never going to come on this.
I'm worried about you, Bruce. That's all. I'm just simply worried. Really.
All right, let's come back. Let's come back.
But
full
did you
circle
see the Black Panther trailer?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Looks great.
So good.
So good.
Do we think Black Panther is going to take Iron Man's place in the next Marvel movie phase?
Ooh, maybe. I mean, the next one's going to be, it's going to be Spider-Man is going to be the start. The next Spider-Man is going to be the start of the next arc.
Although they're talking about, now I'm seeing them talk about how that's going to be Guardians 3 is actually going to be like the real kickoff point for the next, however, like 10 years. Yeah. I think Spider-Man's the first one coming out after
Avengers
4.
After the Infinity War thing.
Part 2.
Yeah, after whatever Avengers 4 happens to be.
So it'll be starting there, and then I think they'll develop it more with Guardians, whatever the next thing is.
And my assumption would be it's like you're keeping Tom Holland until he dies. I'm assuming they have him locked in for the rest of his natural life.
Probably.
You'd be silly not to lock Chadwick Boseman in for the next decade at least. I assume more Captain Marvel... and whatever new iteration of Guardians of the Galaxy exists after Guardians 3.
And Doctor Strange.
And Doctor Strange.
What if... Nah. But I'm real excited for this Noah Hawley Doctor Doom movie coming out.
If that happens, yeah.
Only, I mean, if it happens just because it's Noah Hawley, that's why I'm excited about it. If it was anyone else, I would be Nate right now.
Yeah. I just don't want it because I want Doom in the Marvel Universe.
That's why I had that moment where I'm like... What if that's the next arc? What if they're like being sneaky with it? I know it's going to go through Sony, but it's Fox. Okay, if it's going through Fox, but maybe they're being sneaky about it, and maybe he's the next big bad because that would be nice.
My guess,
even if he's not Fantastic Four,
my guess is it's not going to happen, especially because like they've more or less we'll see. There's like 4 X-Men movies coming out in the next 3 months. They more or less seem to have figured out all of the X-Men stuff. I think they would rather hold on to Fantastic Four than even share it and be made to look stupid, like what happened with Daredevil a little bit. Like
they already were made to look stupid with the last Fantastic Four movie.
Or all of the Fantastic Four movies.
X-Men movies they've still been making, though.
So the last time, though, that they had a Marvel property that they couldn't figure out what to do with and then let it go, Marvel and Netflix turned it into a massively successful series, and then Fox had egg on their face that they... weren't wholly responsible I have a hard time seeing when we get to a point like you were joking about like a Marvel DC crossover. I have a feeling we're going to get to a point where they will have exhausted every possible idea and revenue stream that after a while the only way, because of course the bubble will burst eventually.
We're not going to do a Marvel DC crossover.
I think it is.
Oh,
I
that'll
think
happen eventually.
Eventually,
yeah.
I think
in our lifetimes.
2050.
But I think we'll start to see like studios in an effort to get as many people to the theater as possible, and not knowing how else to do it, will maybe start making deals like that.
And you have to think about marijuana is pretty well legal halfway in this country, so people are really just going to be sitting around watching a lot of TV. So it's going to happen soon.
Like, wouldn't it be great?
Not enough
fought Batman. Like, yeah.
I was like, you know, the world's changing.
Deadpool.
With Deadpool aware of the fourth wall. Like, he just jumps into a Batman movie, and that's the movie.
I mean, we do need Deadpool and Harley Quinn. I think that's...
Just gassing that car
just
right up.
Just
gas it.
That's like both sides of Hot Topic. You know? That's a full Spencer gift.
but all right. So you did care for Batman versus Two-Face.
Yes. I would highly recommend it. It's a very fun watch.
And especially, too, like, I had... Worried is too strong a word, but the slightest bit of trepidation, knowing, of course, we lost Adam West fairly recently, and this would be his swan song as the Caped Crusader, so I was a little trepidatious as to whether this would be a fitting capper on such a massive legacy.
I think I
liked it a lot.
And there's also really... If you stay for the end of the credits, there's a nice little dedicated to Adam West, and then it says, like, our... rest well, bright night.
Yeah.
And it was very touching, and I actually like teared up a little right at the end.
Same.
After seeing him do the Batusi, and then it says that.
I'll probably cry because I'll think about the time that I met Adam West when I was a little girl and asked him about the Happy Hooker Goes to Hollywood. And he said, little girl, I thought it was a comedy until they brought the second unit out. Shed a tear at the end of this movie.
There you go. And they also have, as an extra on the Blu-ray or DVD, a Comic-Con panel they did of a remembrance of Adam West.
And that's with, Kevin Smith is on it, I think, Ralph Garman who's
Julie
a big,
Julie
big
Newmar,
fan and friend of his.
Burt Ward, all those guys. So, yeah, they all share some stories about him. So,
yeah.
A good watch there. Ladies and gentlemen, look at this.
We did it.
We did it. We've done it again.
Oh,
impossible.
Boy.
We did it.
Oh, wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for watching the Comic Book Exchange. As always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars, not just because you like the show, but more importantly, to keep our dear, beloved Lex Michael alive.
Mm. We may need to do some more naked
sex. It may or may not work. Mm. We'll see. It's kind of like a Spider-Man thing. Everybody gets one.
And subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. And if you want to continue the conversation with us, even after the show is over, Nate, where can they find you, sir?
You guys can find me on social media at DogLikeNate.
I'm all over social media at TheLexMichael. I can tweet from beyond the grave, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And oh, hello. I was just brushing my beard. Okay. You can find me at MRDaveChild or DaveChild.com, because I'm Dave Child.
And again, thanks to Nate and Dave for joining us here. Please come back as often as you want. The door is always, yeah, the door and the couch is always open.
Watch Nate and I on Game of Thrones Weekly. We talk about monsters and swords. It's great.
That's it, specifically.
Yes. Specifically, monster. One episode dedicated to monsters, one episode dedicated to swords.
We know what we like.
And it's monsters and swords.
I've been the other host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, or don't, because none of these guys do, because they know it's good for them. On Happy Go Jackie. It's fine, Nate. It's okay, Nate.
I thought I did.
No, you don't. You guys don't.
The name just doesn't make sense, yeah. Frank.
Until next week, folks, we'll see you back here next Wednesday night for another episode of the Comic Book Exchange, right here on Book Circle Online.
Swamp From executive off. Producers Kevin Undergaro, Maria Menounos, and Jeffrey Masters, thanks for tuning in to Book Circle Online. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment. To suggest a book title or their author, you can tweet us at Book Circle On. This is Book Circle Online. Thanks for tuning in.